Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Folks, every Tuesday in this hour, the first segment, we spend talking about the NOLA Coalition, which is an initiative that has been put forth by GNO Inc. It is a coalition that has grown to one of the largest and most diverse, over 575 nonprofit and business organization members. And we've been able to highlight the work of so many not-for-profit organizations that are grassroots organizations in the trenches, making a difference every day for your kids, our community. And it's been one of the most rewarding things that I've done since I've been on radio for 6 years now, just a little over 6 years, is to learn more about people that give a damn, people that care, people that are trying really hard with very limited resources to make a difference. And that's the beauty of NOLA Coalition, is recognizing the efforts of these folks each and every day, trying to provide sustenance funding to them to not only keep their programs going, but in many cases to enlarge their footprint, to collaborate with one another, to kind of think out of the box. And thus far, I think it's been very successful. And our guest today is one that has been involved in that and is going to take on a bigger role relative to NOLA Coalition, and that's Daphne Barnes, Executive Director of Economic Mobility at GNO Inc. Daphne, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Noel. Thank you for having me this afternoon. Well, morning.
Morning, yeah. And congratulations on your new role. More work. hopefully more pay. If not, I'll corner Michael when I'm roasting him Friday evening, or slaying him, as I prefer to say.
You know, we are really very excited to hear what will happen at this roast. We are waiting on this. I can't wait. And I'm going to high five you right after you come down off the stage.
No, it's all for a great cause. Michael's a good sport, so we look forward to it.
Yeah.
So you guys issued a statement the other day. Y'all are kind of entering into the next phase in the lifeline of NOLA Coalition. Tell us about it.
Well, as you know, Noel, we've talked a couple of times. It seems like this has been a direction that I've been going on for the NOLA Coalition, bringing this youth services strategy into place. So we have had it before, and as you know, we have seen a lot of progress since the NOLA Coalition came about, with our, you know, galvanizing a lot of people who are part of this work, and we are seeing decreases. You know, crime is down across a lot of indicators. And so now what we want to do is double down on our future, which is our youth services strategy. And so that's what we're doing now. We of course, collaborate with our NOPD, you know, all of the different people who are involved in public safety. And we got to make sure we have stuff for our kids.
No doubt. As I said in my intro, is that I've been the beneficiary of being able to share that great work that folks are doing. Y'all have raised about $8 million towards your goal of $15 million investment in youth services. Y'all have supported, I think, somewhere just north of 5,000 kids to date, and that number is growing every month.
Absolutely. We have so many community-based nonprofits that are on the ground, and we want to make sure that we are able to optimize their services. So the goal of the $8 million is great, and, well, the achievement of the $8 million is great, and the $7 million that's remaining, I believe we're going to reach that and even go further because we are pouring into these young people and to the organizations that serve them. And there's a lot more to service that we're looking at where we are, you know, we want to make sure we have high impact with these young people. And so the way to do that is investing in them.
Yeah, I mean, and y'all continue to meet, I know. What is some of the information that is being brought back to y'all as to the impact that NOLA Coalition is having with these groups?
One of the biggest impacts that we've seen, and I'll tell you that's really important to me, is that we are meeting the people that sometimes do not have the voice. They may not have the big names around them or, you know, the big sponsorships, but they are on the ground doing the work, and we're going to expand that even further. So some of the feedback is that, you know, hey, we didn't know that as many of these business owners had this much of a commitment to the youth. And we're seeing that with our business community really galvanizing to support this. And I believe that their support is going to continue as we go further because they see the impact. And the impact, of course, we're all in this community together. So we want to continue that. We want to continue making sure our businesses and our industries and our community members are all working together for our youth.
What has, Daphne, I mean, you've been involved for a long time. What has surprised you most?
What has surprised me most? I think what has surprised me most is probably the number of our nonprofits that are doing this work. It's in such a, I don't want to say a small city, we're a mid-sized city. It's absolutely crazy how many people are so dedicated to making this such a better city by investing in our youth and their time. Like our nonprofit leaders, they are on the ground. They are boots on the ground. They are in and out every day. And that dedication, you know, we hear about it, but seeing it, it's life-changing to know their dedication, and not just to our youth, but a number of people who are, you know, going through some of the same things that we all are going through, and we have these amazing organizations that are here. And I believe you spoke to a few of them, like Don't Stop Dreaming, which took these young men who may or may not have, you know, some of the things that some others may have, and took them on an educational trip, train rides, you know, all over, and they're continuing to do things throughout the community and pouring into our kids. So seeing not only them, but I've met with another group, LaCour, who is part of the NOLA Coalition, and the work they're doing for our veterans. You know, we do have some younger veterans. We do have young people who are in homes with veterans, and the work they're doing to make sure that they are secure housing, to make sure they have job training, and you know, working with the youth from that perspective, we don't see some of these things too often, or they may be a smaller organization. We see so many people who are pouring into our youth, and that has been an eye-opener for me.
Absolutely. I know I've talked to a number of members of the business community that have had that same experience that you just outlined, and meeting and talking to folks, and I've asked a number of them the same question, and their responses were very similar to yours. And actually, it's my experience. I had no idea the breadth and depth of people that were invested down in the trenches, you know, and until you get down in the trenches, you would never know, quite frankly. And I think that's where NOLA Coalition went first, and I think it's been a huge success for you guys.
Absolutely. And we, like I said, we're going to double down on this. We are looking to increase economic opportunity with our students. You know, GNO Inc., we are known for our economic development, and we are making sure that that expands to our opportunity youth. And as much as I hate that phrase, that's the phrase that we use for our 16 to 25 year olds, but I'm looking to go further, and we're starting at 13 years old and looking for ways to get our young people into those high wage, high growth careers and make sure that that is part of our entire economic cycle where we are attracting businesses and retaining them, knowing they have a trained workforce and our young people have the high wage jobs and careers that will allow them to stay in New Orleans and prosper here, because that works out better for all of us. And we're doing that by also leveraging our region's 13 colleges and universities, as well as our nonprofit training providers. We are looking to coordinate our nonprofits and make sure that we are catalyzing opportunities for increased coordination amongst all of them, and also help them with collaborative funding at local and national levels. And of course, we're going to look and see how we can raise that $7 million that's remaining, but I'm still aiming further. So, Michael, don't kill me for saying that, but I want to go above that $15 million for our young people.
You know, it's interesting, and I know this is going to be a big challenge, and it's a big ask, quite frankly, is this coordination to kind of create this continuum of services for kids, because you have a bunch of, as you put it, kind of nuanced programs, right, that are out there and trying to align a lot of what's being done, because they have a lot of worthy programs. And y'all spend a lot of time with that stream of accountability. This is not just about giving people money. There's accountability measures and performance outcomes that need to happen as well, right?
Yes, absolutely. And you touched on something really important to us also, is that there are a lot of them. So we're looking at ways we can optimize their services. And so when we look at our youth, we're looking at really four major areas. We're looking at, of course, economic development and workforce. We're also looking at mental health advocacy. We are looking at juvenile justice. We are looking at the recreational side. How can we bring all four of those pillars together in order to have build capacity within our nonprofits? Because when we're working together, we make stronger, and we have a stronger program. So we're looking at how we can bring all these people together and maybe having larger applications and that focus on larger groups of individuals that encompasses all these types of services. And that way we have those outcomes, because yes, they will be measured. We are looking to make sure that we are meeting the needs of those students that are underserved and missed. So yeah, it's going to be an undertaking.
Now, obviously, a lot of times the general public is impatient, to say the least. And yeah. I oftentimes say there's no one silver bullet, right? If there was a singular panacea solution, everybody would be investing in it and trying to make that happen. But there isn't. And there will be failures. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, the only way you fail is when you're actually doing something. When you do nothing, you can't fail.
Exactly.
So, and I know that sometimes there's a high level of cynicism and skepticism. How are you guys beating that back? And how do you read the general public as it relates to a lot of the endeavors that y'all have embarked on?
Well, as you said, Noel, from failure comes growth. That's my belief. If you don't fail, you cannot look back. You cannot pick yourself up. You cannot come out with a new iteration that's even better. So that's what we are seeking to do. We are going to look at what we're doing. We're going to look at how to optimize it, how to make it better, and we're going to keep pushing. There will always be someone with a comment, someone with, you know, an opposition to your idea. And I welcome those ideas, and we welcome them as an entity, as GNO Inc. But ultimately, our goal is to get the work done and to do it better and better each time to serve our community. So the only thing I can say about that is we're going to keep working to be better.
Yeah. And it seems as though, and it's hard to maintain momentum, but I think y'all have been successful in doing so. Your thoughts?
Yes, I think that we definitely have, because, you know, sometimes things start out, there's a big splash, everyone's excited, and then the everyday grinding work comes in. And sometimes, as you said earlier, people want to see something immediate. The problems we have, they weren't caused immediately. They take time to kind of work through. And I think that once we see that we are consistently working through those things, we are keeping that momentum is building steadily, and it will keep building. And our goal is to keep it going, not just to have something big and flashy and then we stop and you don't hear from us. Our goal is to be there, to be present, to show outcomes consistently, and to make sure we're serving these young people.
I get the sense when you embark on new landscape, right? I mean, you go through this touchy-feely, trust-building, you know, phase. And I think that y'all had to go through that, right?
Yes, and coming on as a new executive director, I'm going through that now. So people have to, as you know, people, they have to trust you. This work to me is altruistic. I'm doing this because this is my passion. It's because I love it. It's because I love our city and our region. And that's up to me to build that trust within our members. And it's up to me to live up to the trust that they have given to me. And so this is something that's ongoing. And right now I'm in that trust building phase with people. Some of them may know my work and some of them don't. So, you know, I'll be honest. I was an educator. I worked in the schools with young people this age and with some community members. And this is part of it. Just like as a new teacher walking into a classroom with students who I didn't know, I had to build trust with them. And I had to build trust with their parents because they've entrusted me with their children for their future. So that is how I look at this. The people who are part of this coalition, who are donating to it, the nonprofits who are believing in it, and the children of this city, they are depending on careful stewardship and for me to live up to those obligations, and I'm here for it.
Daphne, we're speaking with Daphne Barnes, Executive Director of Economic Mobility at GNO Inc. Daphne, if members of the listening audience wanted like concrete instances, you know, concrete evidence of success, I know you guys issue a report on what has been done and what a lot of these not-for-profits do. And where would one go to see that information?
They can go to our website at the NOLA Coalition. I want to make sure I say it right. The NOLA Coalition, it can be Googled, and you can see a listing of the different things that we have done. And you can see our report. And so it's nolacoalition.info, and see our investment in youth services. You can see the people who are part of the coalition, and you can see what our plan is going forward.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and in highlighting every Tuesday these member organizations of the NOLA Coalition, we talk about their successes, we talk about their challenges, we talk about a whole bunch of different things. There's a large group of folks that are really working hard in STEM and STEM education. And I got to imagine that the outcomes have been nothing short of incredible there. Just as I listen to what they're exposing our kids to, that they wouldn't have that opportunity but for the services that they're providing. And a lot of times it's inside of the school system itself, right?
Yes. And so, and as you know, I'm also the Region 1, my other hat, the Region 1 Center for STEM, where GNO Inc., we serve as the ecosystem hub for all STEM within our region. And so our goal is to, of course, once again, make sure that our young people, and not just young people, but from K to gray, as the saying goes, have the opportunity to be involved in a lot of these high-paying STEM careers, and also to make sure that they know that there are STEM careers that are high paying right here in our region. And so we do that through outreach at schools. We do that through mentorships, internships, and a number of different opportunities and our partnerships, of course, with our education, our higher educational system, for of course, 4-year, 2-year, all types of different degrees and pathways that lead to these high wage occupations. And we work with everyone in our ecosystem. Like I said, we are industry, community, and education based. And so as that ecosystem hub, we are making sure that our citizens here have those opportunities and the knowledge about what's available to them, especially in STEM.
Well, congratulations again on your new role. Not that you weren't doing it before, but the recognition was the same as always. We really appreciate the work that you guys are doing. And I guess you're going to be there Friday night as we slay Mr. Heck. And I look forward to seeing you then.
All right. Thank you so much. I can't wait to see you. Have a great one, Noel.
Thank you, Daphne. Daphne Barnes, Executive Director of Economic Mobility at GNO Inc. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Folks, are you ready to go to the party? Now's your chance to win a pair of tickets to the first weekend of Jazz Fest. Today's password is beignet, B-E-I-G-N-E-T. That's beignet. Now go to WWL.com/contests and register to win. It's that easy. Don't miss your chance to win Jazz Fest tickets plus round-trip Jazz Fest Express shuttle passes. WWL is giving away a pair every day this week. All you have to do is listen to Tommy, me, Scooter, Sports Talk for the Jazz Fest password of the day. And you get to see amazing artists like Chris Stapleton, John Batiste, The Killers, The Robert Cray Band, one of my favorites, Heart, Rebirth Brass Band, and more. Good luck. Happy festing from Miller Lite, the official beer of Jazz Fest and WWL. That's beignet. Don't forget, sign up now. Excuse me. All right, folks. Another one bites the dust. Several years ago during the pandemic, a number of colleges, universities across this country, some of the leading educational institutions in the U.S., had decided that it would be smart to no longer require applicants to submit SAT or ACT scores for admission. And this became kind of vogue, kind of part of this whole DEI movement, diversity, equity, and inclusion that we saw in universities across the country. And it didn't take long for them to realize, Houston, we have a problem. And it began to reveal itself in a number of students that were struggling, a number of students that weren't making the grade, a number of students that they were having to provide remedial work for, too. It was costing them more. Positions would go then unfilled, so to speak, costing them money. And we know when it comes to universities, money talks and you know what else walks. So things were changing fast. They also recognize that, you know, hell, we do some of the finest research in the world. So why don't we research this topic? What a novel idea that was. You think maybe they would have done that due diligence before they got all wrapped up in this vogue, unique epidemic that you weren't going to be, you couldn't belong as an educational institution unless you abandoned the racist nature of an ACT SAT test, right? We're all sitting in similar classrooms, receiving similar instruction, similar topics, minimum requirements set forth by every state in the union. But all of a sudden, these tests were not fair. They were improper. There was a motivation to these tests that was suspect, and we needed to deal with this issue right now. We had to abandon them. Well, obviously, the outcome of this research was not pretty. And what they recognized is that they were doing students of all socioeconomic backgrounds, of all levels of achievement, a disservice. And it's amazing how they turned internally to their own research capabilities in order to deal with this issue and recognize we have a problem. We have a problem. And the move was quick. I mean, it's been reported one after the other. I mean, some did this. MIT did it 2 years ago. I talked about it then, and I continue to talk about it. They recognized that they had a problem. They closely monitored outcomes, and they realized that these outcomes were ugly and that a lot of students were just not prepared for the rigors of the STEM education that was being provided at MIT. That's kind of novel. Some students more prepared than others. You ever wonder why people fall out in different places on the curve? Some are more serious. Some tap in to their intellect more often, every day maybe. Study, prepare, do the things necessary in order to succeed. In a recent op-ed in the National Review, the editors point out something that was striking about all of these schools is the fact that all the big three, Dartmouth, Yale, and now Harvard announced last Thursday, we now are going to require ACT, SAT. They were kind of the last to come in, right? Finally, because Harvard always walks to the beat of a different drum. Maybe they should spend more time training and testing their faculty on how to tell the truth, because it seems as though plagiarism has run amok at Harvard and they're having a real difficult time accurately representing their accomplishments as not only students but teachers and researchers as well. But they make the observation that the results, some school of these, the research that they did and the results of allowing students that had less than capabilities to the mainstream of the students that they typically admitted to these universities, they make the observation that these results must have been, as they put it, disastrously grim. And they're so right. It had to be so overwhelming and so telling, otherwise all of these Ivy League schools would not have almost at the same time come to the same conclusion that we got a problem. They also go on to say that these elite schools, and I quote, these elite schools that saddled themselves with underqualified students have now inevitably produced an entire micro generation of underqualified or at least suspect graduates as well, that get to wear that badge of honor of saying that they are a Dartmouth, Yale, Harvard, MIT graduate. And that in many cases, they had to foster them through the rigors of the curriculum of these respective universities. One has to ask though, simply, you know, universities that have been promoting evidence-based outcomes as it relates to their testing, their research, everything that they do. A number of these schools have medical schools. A number of them have law schools have advanced educational schools associated with each and every one of them, that when it came to their own policies, they might have wanted to spend more time doing rigorous research before they started to embark upon some of these disastrous policy changes. One asks the question whether or not we should be looking to these universities for much of anything. Because it seems as though they're just as equally likely to get caught up in this social network gain that's out there, social equity, and everything else that goes along with that, without taking a breath, having pause, and gaining a better understanding of what it is that they're about to embark on or upon, instead of just keeping up with the Joneses. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Were you as frustrated as I was yesterday watching this anti-Israel, pro-Hamas, anti-America, however you want to label it, protests that were going on in across the country in Chicago, New York, San Francisco? The Golden Gate Bridge thing really drove me crazy. 5 and 6 hours they blocked traffic on the Golden Gate Bridge. This was coordinated. And, of course, it looks as though nobody really knew anything that this was going to happen. It had to have been coordinated. I'm curious whether or not we had any actionable intelligence on any of what was happening yesterday. If not, we should be asking ourselves why not, one would think. But I kind of just sat there and I was wondering, how long does it take to back up a skid truck on the Golden Gate Bridge from the Sausalito side and yank these vehicles off the bridge like lickety-split? And why are we sitting there coddling these fools that are creating these disruptive forces in every major city? In Chicago, they were blocking the access road to the airport. People were jumping out of automobiles and having to walk blocks on end in order to get to the terminal building so that they could catch their flight, flipping the protesters off as they were dragging their luggage behind them. How do we let this small group of individuals take control of the main travel portion of so many arterial roads in the biggest cities in this country and let it go on for hours on end? It's kind of mind-boggling to me. I've never understood why we are so complacent in our response to this disruptive criminal behavior that's exhibited by these individuals. And you give them an inch, they're going to take a foot. You give them a foot, they're going to take a yard. And here we are. This is going to happen again. I certainly hope that the response is going to be different. I certainly hope that maybe they do like NYPD did. Go in there and clear the bridge, start yanking everybody that they can get their hands on, putting them in the paddy wagon and taking them to jail. And hopefully, but I doubt it, that they proactively prosecute each and every one of these individuals. Because unless and until you do that, this will continue. It'll get more and more intrusive. God forbid, it's going to get more violent. And instead of nipping this in the bud right now and letting everybody know that we are not going to sit back and tolerate this culture of non-compliance, no way, no how, it's not going to happen in our city. It will continue. I dare say it's going to happen on that bridge in San Francisco yet again. The Golden Gate Bridge, yet again. The disruption, they said the traffic was backed up for a dozen miles and totally disrupted one of the major thoroughfares there moving across San Francisco Bay. One has to wonder, how many times does this have to occur before we figure out a protocol, a policy, a procedure as to how we're going to address that situation? If they want to put themselves at risk and handcuff themselves to steering wheels and the like, it shouldn't stop us from backing up a skid truck and just grabbing that vehicle, throwing it up there, and just start taking them out one at a time. You clear one lane, get traffic moving. Meanwhile, you're dealing with the other lanes. And those individuals that decide to sit on that bridge, handcuff them, throw them in a paddy wagon, get them the hell out of there. It's on national TV for everybody to see. Then and only then will we put an end to this craziness that's going on and what people think that they can get away with in this country. Not to mention they're sitting there saying how much they hate America. So maybe if we engage in what we are legally authorized to do, they might hate it even more. We'll be right back. Folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll go to the talk lines and I'll respond to some of the texts that I'm getting here as well. And in the back half of the 12 o'clock hour, we'll visit with Ronald Serpas, professor of practice in the Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, about a number of things going on in the city.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.